Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is no better group of ones for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Back in the late 1950s, early 60s, I worked on the Cramphorn Cornard Rose Nursery. Today, that nursery is now owned by Perrywood Garden Centres in Tiptree, Essex, and they've just won 5 awards at the National Garden Centre Association Conference. I'll be speaking to one of the family that owns Perrywood's, Hannah Powell, later in the show. My thanks to Westland Horticulture, sponsors of this podcast, and of course to my producer, Charlie Jones. Sub-zero temperatures were not much fun for gardeners last week, but seeing the soil frozen hard with 24 hours absolutely solid, it is a pretty good thing, really. It means that the stone fruits will have been what we call vernalised. That helps them to set flower bud. And, of course, without flowers, you don't get fruits. Looking at my apricots, cherries and plums, I can see there's a good lot of flower bud on those. So with the cooler weather delaying the opening of flowers, we should be in with a reasonable chance of some good fruits. But our -7 to -10 centigrade was nothing compared to the States. And next week, I hope to speak to Chris Bates in Chicago, where the temperatures have been, down to -40, I think he said. Goodness, I wouldn't want to live with that. And we'll be speaking to him about the new Impatiens Beacon. That's the latest downy mildew-resistant Busy Lizzie, which will be on sale in limited numbers here in the UK next summer. And if you are growing Busy Lizzies outside where they'll be affected by particularly humid weather, damp, coolish sort of conditions, downy mildew can really be a problem. And so Beacon and a sister variety, Amara, could well be the answer to control that disease in gardens. Last week I referred to the IPM exhibition in Essen, and I've now had a week to try and get my thoughts in line and appraise page after page of notes that was taken from what I saw and from the people I spoke to, and also starting to sort out some of the photographs we took. I mentioned last week about the strawberry Delissimo, but from the same breeder, ABZ, they have a new rich crimson-flowered strawberry called Summer Breeze. That'll be on garden centres on sale later this year. I mean, it's a very pretty flower, and so we now have a very good edible ornamental. The breeder there tells me that he's also got in the production line a fully double strawberry flower, which the bloom just looks like a rose. So I can't wait to see that. But there were scores and scores of new plants. 2 different coloured camellias called Winter Perfume. They were, you know, very nicely scented. And then another Camellia japonica called Pink and Pearl. It looked like a peony. A fully double flower with pink and white coloured petals. I mean, there are scores of different kinds of petunias, but I particularly liked Sweetunia. That was in very rich bicolours, a sort of deep, what I call it, crimson red with an even darker vein, and then in the royal purples, there's some really lovely colours in that. And then anemones, I love anemones at this time of year. Great cut flower to have indoors. And from France, there's a huge flowered anemone on a really thick stem. I suppose not surprisingly from France, called Anemone Mistral. I must try and get some seed and have a go at that. It's a good thing if you sow it quite early in the season, talking April, May time, get seedlings quite nicely established. They'll flower pretty well through the winter. You do need just a little bit of frost protection. They'll take several degrees of frost, but if we have a really tough winter, then it'll need some heat in the protection. Certainly those large flowered anemones. And then box. You know, here there's a lot of box being stripped out because of the fungus, box blight, and the box caterpillar. And at the IPM, there were two approaches. It looks as if they've got a natural bacterial control for the caterpillar. It's not cleared for Britain yet, but with luck, it will come here. And also, in October, they're going to launch four new kinds of box, all of them resistant to the blight. You know, so there's one which will replace the very small box that we use for box edging. There's a very tall one. There's one of medium size, which will be ideal for trimming into box balls. And another one that you could actually grow for cut foliage. There's an Ipomea with dark foliage. That's an absolutely beautiful thing. It's called Sun Puma Purple. And if you put that with another new plant, Zero Chrysanthemum Bracteatum Granvia Gold, that's a straw flower, has really rich yellow flowers, flowers for months and months and months. But to put behind it this climbing black-leaved Ipomea, that will make a pretty stunning show right through the summer. And it will be available in the next few months. I would recommend that you start to sow indoors one of the very early and quick-growing cabbage, lettuce, a few peas in pots if you haven't done it already, and broad beans. Now, this is a very tricky time. When you're growing those hardy vegetables and raising them indoors to get a flying start, as soon as the seeds start to show, they must go close to the glass to get maximum light and not too much heat. Really, if you've got a coolish bedroom facing south, that will be absolutely perfect, the windowsill there. You need to remember, too, that if they do start to stretch a little bit, you need to employ what we call diff. As seedlings grow, if the temperature drops at daybreak or at the beginning of the day, it has the effect of making them more sturdy, shorter. It's the reason the Victorians used to get air on their cold frames first thing in the morning. I don't think they understood the scientific reasons for it, but it certainly worked then and it worked now. And I find myself in the spring carrying trays of seedlings out from the kitchen windowsill, standing them outside all day and then bringing them indoors overnight. And the bit of warmth indoors, of course, gives them protection and keeps them growing. And then going out, they get the daylight and they get that difference in temperature, which helps to keep them nice and short. So if you try that with a quick-growing cabbage and lettuce, it should be fine. With the tender things, the aubergines and peppers we recommended you'd sowed some weeks ago, those, of course, must be kept warm. They'll need a temperature of about 20 degrees centigrade, if they're going to keep growing.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Our guest this week is Hannah Powell from Perrywood Garden Centre at Tiptree in Essex. Actually, I think that there may be some corks popping in that part of the woods because they did pretty well at the Garden Centre Association conference just a week or so ago. Is that the case, Hannah? Are you all excited there and celebrating, or do you just take it in your stride?
Well, you've always got to move on to the next thing, but no, the team is absolutely ecstatic. They were delighted. It means a lot to them. You know, they work hard all year, so to get recognition from the industry, from your peers, if you like, is really important.
We need to explain, don't we, that there's about 200 garden centres that are members of the Garden Centre Association. You're all inspected by four independent inspectors who give points on sort of quality standards.
Yep.
And the one that I'm interested in particularly is the Ruxley Rose Award, which is for plants.
That's right.
And that's the one you've caught, isn't it?
That's one of the ones we won, absolutely. Yeah, we're delighted with that one. We came, I think, second last year. And because our heritage is in growing plants, and our family that runs Perrywood is potty about plants, I suppose you would say, that's the one we wanted to win, I think, secretly. So, we're absolutely delighted. And as I say, the team at Perrywood is really, really pleased as well. It kind of validates all the hard work they've put in.
Yes, people don't quite understand, perhaps, that when we have really rough, windy weather and heavy rain, if you're out looking after the plants outside,
absolutely,
it's a pretty frustrating, miserable job, isn't it?
Yep, so on some, you know, when you get the heat wave like we did last year, they're out there watering every day. Yeah. When you get the winds, they're out there picking up all the trees that have fallen over. And, of course, you know, everything in between. So we don't make them go out in all weathers. We're not that mean. They can come into the greenhouses when it's, you know, severe weather. But they are outdoors a lot. That's right. It's good or bad.
And you do share this award, don't you? There are sort of two Ruxley Rose Awards. There's one for a garden centre and one for a destination garden centre.
That's right. So they split us into two categories according to size. So the garden centre category is for those with a £4 million pound turnover or less, and then the destination garden centres are the larger garden centres with a turnover of more than £4 million.
And so, you know, we can fairly say that Perrywood has been judged as having the best plants in the country,
absolutely.
Your category.
Absolutely.
Well, my heartiest congratulations to you. Mm. I just know what it takes to get that award. But can we go back a bit? Mm. I mean, how did the business start?
Sure. So back in the 1950s, my granddad, Len, born, he was a cowman for a local estate, the Braxton Park Estate. And he then bought a 4-acre piece of land with his wife, Mary. And there wasn't a lot there. There was they grew strawberries, they had potatoes. My dad says there was a lot of weeds. They had a couple of cows, but it was a fairly small concern, I would say. So my dad and his two sisters grew up there, living off the land. Dad then left school, wasn't too keen on school, was Dad, and he went and worked for Colchester Parks Department. So he did things there like doing their bedding plant displays. He used to do the flower arranging at the annual oyster feast that happened in Colchester every year. So I learned a lot about growing plants. They had greenhouses there. All their bedding plants were grown there in the greenhouses. So he learned a lot, and he really wanted to bring that back to Perrywood. So he encouraged my granddad to put a greenhouse up, and they tried greenhouse crops. So they tried lots of things over the years. They grew cucumbers and tomatoes, you know, as food crops. They grew pot plants like chrysanthemums, cut flowers, cinerarias, things like that. And gradually every year they realised that the greenhouse crops were making more money than the field crops. Supermarkets were taking over things like the strawberry market, so that the plants became the thing, I suppose. And then in 1984, my mum and dad took over Perrywood from my granddad. And then we've spent the next 35 years growing it into the business it is today. So it now turns over just over £9 million. We've got 160 staff, and it's kind of known across Essex and further afield as well.
It is indeed. That's a fantastic story, isn't it?
You know, it is. I like to look back because it does make me really proud of what, you know, mum and dad achieved, and then myself and my brothers have come into the business in the last 10 years. And yes, it's a fantastic success story for the local community as well, I think. You know, lots of families have got connections through working for us or supplying us, etc. So.
And you mentioned brothers, so are there three of you?
There's three of us, yes. So I'm the oldest, and then I've got two younger brothers, Simon and Tristan. So Simon and Tristan both went off and did engineering at university and had careers. I did horticulture at university and went off and did PR and marketing in London for 10 years. And then gradually we've all migrated back to the business. So I think Simon's been back for, I think this will be his 11th year. I've been back for 8 or 9 years, and Tristan came back a couple of years ago. So yeah, kind of come back into the business with different expertise and different knowledge, and yeah, help Perrywood to grow, really.
Which is fantastic. I mean, the old story is that third generation tend to waste, don't they? Rags to riches and back again.
There's different ways to do it, but I think definitely the fact that there's three of us with different knowledge and different outside ideas, you know, experience at different companies, has really helped the business to grow over the last 5 years, I would say. But all of that, you know, on the back of my mum and dad's hard work for years, really, you know, building the business up, making a profit, putting it back into the business year on year, you know. Yeah. So I'm very grateful for that.
I mean, we've spoken today about the plants, which to my mind are the foundation and fundamental, and really when you go into Perrywood and you see the marvellous displays you have at the entrance, leave alone when you get into the plant area, but that's only a fraction of it. I mean, you have a really big restaurant now.
Yes, we do, but I think we've always said that the plants are at the centre of it, and actually we redid our kind of vision and values for the business last year, and we came up with some ideas as a board, but then we went to the staff as well, the team, and said, you know, what do you really value Perrywood for? And plants was very much at the centre of that, as well as being a family business, a quality business. We wanted to, you know, inspire people to get plants in their lives, and that is our long-term vision, is to inspire more people to get plants in their lives, whether that be inside, outside, home, office, etc. But that is really what we're there for, I suppose.
But I mean, my neighbour who went for the first time to have one of your coffees and teas, you know, was amazed by the Christmas display. I mean, you really go to town for Christmas and gifts too, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, we're already planning that now, believe it or not. So we're already putting the orders in for the stock. We're already coming up with the themes. The build of it starts in something like August, and it starts going in store in September.
Yeah.
So it is a big thing. But again, we like to think that our Christmas is not so detached from the rest of the business. So everything we do in our gift shop should relate back to botanics and plants and things that a gardener would want in their home. I'm not talking about a seasoned gardener who knows everything about plants, but just someone who likes being outside, likes nature. The gift shop and the Christmas all comes back to that. It's a rustic Christmas, it's a country Christmas, if you like.
You haven't lost sight of your roots by any means.
No, definitely not.
But of course you need income during the dark and cold winter days, months, and that's what Christmas has done for the garden centre industry, hasn't it? Sort of help things year round.
Exactly, so we only probably take on 3 or 4 seasonal staff in our production nursery. So we grow our Perrywood grown range of bedding plants on our plant production nursery, which are only sold at our two stores. And we take on 3 or 4 people every spring to help us for that bit. But the rest of the business, we're able to hire permanent staff. You know, which is great for them, it's great for us as a business, and we can carry them throughout the whole year, whereas years ago when Mum and Dad had a handful of staff, you know, they really didn't need people in the winter. It was very much getting ready for the spring season, and then you were done, and if you did well in that spring season, that carried you through the rest of the year.
I remember a bedding plant nursery in the Lee Valley where they only worked for about 3-4 months.
Crazy, isn't it?
and then closed down. Yeah.
I can believe it. I mean, I remember, you know, as a child, just nothing really was going on in the winter. Whereas, as you say now, our car park is packed during Christmas, and they come into Santa's Grotto, etc. So, it's enabled us to be a stronger business, I think. And you have to react and adapt over the years. I think if we said, you know, we're only a plant retailer, then it doesn't put you in such a strong position.
No, it would be very difficult today. But you mentioned centres in the plural, and now you have more than one, don't
you? That's right. That's the next story, the next chapter, if you like. So we decided a couple of years ago that we were ready to think about buying a second site, which we didn't take lightly because, you know, we only have one site, which we've had for many years in the family. So we thought a lot about it. We did a lot of planning. And then, of course, Wyvale put their stores on the market. And we were lucky enough to pick up one of them last September. So we've got the Sudbury store, which is now known as Perrywood Sudbury. It's a 35-acre site, and I believe you have a connection to it, don't you, Peter?
I do. As a very young nursery hand, back in 1959-1960, I actually worked on that nursery.
Fantastic.
Amazing, isn't it?
That's brilliant. Actually, the amount of people we've come across that have got some kind of connection to it, because it has run as a nursery for a lot of years. I mean, the nursery part of it is derelict at the moment. There's something like 40 abandoned polytunnels with just the metal kind of sitting there with brambles and trees growing through them. But the growing heritage is there, you know, which we're really excited about.
Well, when I went, and on some occasions I cycled, it was 30 miles from Chelmsford to Cornard.
Yep.
Imagine that.
That's
Barney. And there were three companies. There was Cramporn's Nurseries that grew roses and fruit trees and a few other sort of grafted things. There was Cundy's,
yep,
which was a small local retail nursery.
Yep.
And then, of course, Letts Roses, which was a sort of big rose specialist that worked mail order. So there were three of them.
I didn't know about the third one. That's interesting.
And I mean, that was in the days in the 60s and 70s when roses were very popular, and there were lots and lots of specialist rose nurseries.
Yes, that's right.
But the manager of Cramporn's Rose Nursery was a Scot, and he was called Mr. Rose. And to give you some idea, the fruit trees weren't named. They had numbers.
Okay.
And Mr. Rose would get the trade magazine, the Horticultural Trades Journal, you know, which all nursery people would have, and I mean, most of them would still take Horticulture Week. But when he'd finished reading it, he would tear it up into postage stamp size so that the staff wouldn't be able to get the information or see the jobs that he had had. I mean, the world has changed so much.
Oh, it has.
Yeah.
But I'd like to think that the common thread throughout all this is passionate plants people, isn't it? You know, they were there then and they're still there now, and that's what I think is great about our industry.
Without question.
You know, so the plants have changed and evolved, and the breeding over the years, you know, but the love of plants, you know, has remained in the industry, but in the UK as a whole, you know, amongst consumers, people still love being with plants.
Without question. And I like to think that it's a fairly friendly trade because we fight the weather.
Yeah.
I mean, if one particular company is badly hit by, what can it be, a fall of snow, you know, rough wind that takes polythene off polytunnels, or the loss of a customer, they stick together a bit and help one another.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I can't wait to see what you do at Cornard.
me too. It's pretty early days. At the moment we're focused on getting it ready for the spring season. We want to make sure that people in the Sudbury area that are into gardening know we're there, and, you know, they can come and find us and see what we do. And then in the longer term, who knows? I think the possibilities are endless. It's a huge site, 35 acres.
I thought for the week really is about flower arranging or floral artistry. Now, I have a lot of time for flower arranging. I like flowers indoors. But having walked those halls at the IPM at Essen and seen the floral artistry, then I'm not so sure. I'm not happy seeing flowers hung upside down and the roots of plants exposed. And I'm not too sure about really beautiful blooms being woven in willow wands or wrapped around twisted hazel stems. I mean, we go to great lengths to grow strong-stemmed flowers. And then when I watch these floral artists, they chop all those stems off and take all the leaves away. Am I the only one that likes flowers as they are, seen in all their beauty? I mean, I welcome the arrival of a single bloom staged in a simple vase so that we can watch it open indoors and, of course, where its presence, appreciate the fragrance. So where are you? Are you a flower arranger? Or do you really revel in floral artistry? My thanks to Westland Horticulture, sponsors of this podcast. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.